Pastor, bring the word.
Amen. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Pastor, the worship team, and your team. Thank you for allowing us to be in the house of the Lord with you today. And thank you for always supporting us. This is actually our second time to be around here. When we're coming, you know, you lose bearings. But when we got here, I'm like, we've been here before. We've been here before. And God has done great things this far. Amen. God put a word on my heart that I want to share with us. And it will blend into some of the things that we do in Uganda. But let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, there is none like you. There is no one like you, God. We thank you that you are in this place to do what you only can do. The hard things in our lives, oh God, only you can do them. You're the God of providence. You're the God who heals all our diseases. You're the God who washes away all our iniquities, Abba Father. God, we worship you. You are our only hope, oh God. No plan Bs, no options. Only God. Only God. Only God. Our faith is not in chariots. Our trust is not in our skills, in our abilities, in our friends, in what the world offers. Our trust is only in only you, oh God. Cursed is the man who puts his trust in man. But blessed is the man whose confidence, whose hope is only in God. Father, this morning may we all come to the place where you are our only hope, oh God. I thank you that you're in this place to heal. You're in this place to deliver. The powers of darkness cannot prevail anymore when the church is here. People ought to be free. People ought to be free. Father, we pray that you bless the word, because your word is alive. Your word is alive. Your word accomplishes purposes. It can never go back void, oh God. Lord, I thank you that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. May we not leave this room the same way we came in. Because you can never gather men and not show up and not do something. God, we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. There is a scripture that I like in Isaiah. And it's like a question. It comes off like a question. In Isaiah 66, verse 8, Isaiah says, "Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth, in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once?" In other words, can a nation change in one day? Who has seen such a thing? That a person can change in one day. That things can alter around for good in one day. Child of God, we live in a season where there is a lot of hopelessness around. Darkness. Bondage. We work with people who are stuck in addiction.
They are enslaved, they are entrapped, they are mastered, and they have no way out. From the outside, you can say, can't they just make a decision and change their lives? It's not as easy as that. They are mastered. There is death around us. Suicide. People committing suicide. Wars and miscarriages and burdens. There is all this darkness that is advancing. And the question is, can all that go away? Can a man be free? Can we live in the liberties that Jesus gave to us? I have this picture. It is a step. It is a step. And I understand its context. It says, one step at a time. But ever since the year started, this picture disturbs me. Because I can no longer do one man at a time, one community at a time. As I'm dealing with this person, the other one is dying. It is time to pick up pace. It is time to pick up momentum, exponential growth. The addition, 1+1, can no longer be effective. We need multiplication. We need growth. We need God's speed. We need advancement, because the devil is not taking us one step at a time. That's not the strategy he is using. He came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Not just one person at a time. Not one person at a time. And my hope today is to remind us of who we are as a church. And how the entire hope of the nation is actually on the church. Not on the government. I love your government. I don't know much about it. But I love your country, which symbolizes that maybe the government is doing good. You can correct me. And I can't say much because I still have a few weeks to be here. But where I come from, you look at things and they sadden your heart. And you can't unsee them. A child abandoned, a woman abused, death wiping away an entire family because of lack of medication. A father ensnared in addiction and children cannot go to school. You look at them and there is a holy discontentment on the inside of you. And you say, God, there has to be something. There has to be something. It can no longer be one step at a time. There are these scriptures. I want us to look at two texts. One is in Matthew. In this portion of scripture, Matthew 16, we walk into a conversation. Jesus walks and he goes into Philippi. And while he's there, he asks his disciples, who do people say that I am? And then Peter gives the correct answer. But I'm more interested in verse 19. From verse 18 he says, and I also say to you that you are Peter. That's verse 18. And on this rock I will build my church. On this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, shall not prevail. Peter gets a clear revelation of who Jesus is. And he says, you're the Christ. And he tells him, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. And Jesus tells him, on this rock, It has two interpretations. One is on this rock, the rock is the revelation you've got about Jesus. The more the church gets a revelation of who Jesus is, the more the church is empowered to do and walk in its authority. But also on the other side, it is on the rock, on the 12 apostles, that the church is built. But I prefer the first one. As the church advances, if Jesus came today and asked, who do people say that I am? Or who do you say that I am? As an individual, who is Jesus to you? Because who he is to you is who you can give to the world. If we've not got a clear understanding of who Jesus is, then also us, we are carried away in the fears and the darknesses of the world. But if we know who Jesus is, we can stand firm. We are anchored in that revelation and can run this race as people are fearfully and running around and scared. For us, we are grounded and firm because we know who Jesus is. We know who we've believed. And he says, on that understanding, I will build my church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. I like my job. I like Teen Challenge. Why? Because Teen Challenge is positioned right at the gates of hell. We get as men about to fall in, we catch them and introduce them to the loving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Some of our Teen Challenge students are in the house, and if you hear their testimonies, they were stuck in the pit of hell, and Jesus reached out and picked them up and gave them beauty for ashes. Now they are the mighty men that are changing nations. That are changing nations. The gates of hell cannot prevail at our watch church. We have to arise and stop playing it safe, because the devil is not playing it safe anymore. And then he says, and I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Where I come from, there are kingdoms, there are monarchies. And every kingdom has a king. Every kingdom has a culture. Every kingdom has a language. Every kingdom has beliefs. There is a way they dress. There is a way they do things. There is a commonwealth in that kingdom. There's a way they handle their money. Today I'm not talking about kingdom. Maybe one of those days, one person will teach us about the kingdom of heaven. But he says he will give us the kingdom, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is far much superior than the kingdoms of this world, than the governments of this world. And if we have the keys to the kingdom of heaven, therefore we can lose things. Things that are in that kingdom to invade the kingdoms of this world. We can bind things, whatever we bind. Bible says whatever we bind on earth here would have already been bound in heaven. So how can people stay bound at our watch when we have the keys? How can people stay locked out of the church when we have the keys? When we have the keys. I hate the devil. Not that anyone should love him. He kills people. He destroys not just people, but generations. Can you imagine an entire generation stuck in addiction? The grandfather, the father, and the children. And if no one in that track understands who Jesus is, it can carry on into the third and the fourth and the fifth generations. Unless a man starts and says, it stops with me. It stops with me. I am passing on a godly inheritance to my children. None of my child will see a rehabilitation center unless they are just working there. None of my family will have a suicidal case. No, the people who die, and not all of us will die. All of us will die. And that's a given. But we're not supposed to die like animals. The Bible tells us we don't die like mere men. We don't die like mere men. We don't die premature deaths. One of the things we've been talking about with my wife is how people, I'm trying to look for a polite word. Okay, good word. Because of my, how there are many elderly people in this population. People are actually growing old. Where we come from, you don't see that. You don't see that. You don't see that. 80s and above, 70s and above. You don't see that. People die young. And what is killing them? Things that can easily be solved. Malaria is killing more people. Actually, during COVID, I don't know if you know what malaria is. It's mosquitoes spread it. During COVID, malaria was killing more people than COVID. And all it takes is 10 US dollars to treat it. To treat it. And within 2 days, you're okay. But because people don't have access to that, they die young. The mothers lose their children to it. They come to our church and you feel a kid and they are burning up. And all they need is a paracetamol, a painkiller to be fine. But they lose their lives because they lack that painkiller. And I wake up and say, God, enough is enough. Enough is enough. Jump with me to Matthew 18. Matthew 18, we'll start from about 18. So we ask ourselves, who is the church? What is the church? And he says, assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on a thing, two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. I like big congregations. We have a church that has grown in 2 years very fast, and it has multiplied into two other locations. By the end of next year, we will have 5 locations out of that one church. But what is the church? The Bible is telling us where two or three agree on earth concerning a thing. So I don't need everyone. To make a church, we need two people or three people. I like the model of the life groups. And that's how we are planting churches. Because we bring people in their homes, two or three. Small groups. It's so easy to get lost in a church like this. It is so easy. But in a cell group, in a life group, we bond. We get to know each other. There is transparency. There is openness. I know your people. You know my people. You know my weakness. I know your weaknesses. We can agree on a thing. We can stand together and agree on a thing. And the Bible is telling us here,
The Father will do it.
The church has a unique opportunity to bind things on earth. These life groups are centered right in the communities. And we call them missional communities, missional cells. They are mission-minded. They are not just taking care of things that are in their rooms, in their houses, but they are taking up care of everything that is surrounding that home. So if there is something in the community they don't like, they can bind it. They can bind it. If there is witchcraft, if there is a witch doctor in the area, we can bind that. Bars. Excuse me, bars and all those things. They can bind it. The church has two roles, to bind and to loose. We bind all the darknesses around us. And what do we lose? Love, peace, hope, healing, prosperity. The word of God, the power of God, deliverances. This is why Jesus died on the cross, that he will equip the church with this ability. With this ability, can a nation be saved in one day? With the church, it can. When we go back to my first verse, it ends. It says, for as soon as Zion travailed, that is Isaiah 66 verse 8, the second portion. For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. There are things that we've permitted as a church. Zion would not have had her children if they did not travail. In other words, if they did not pray, if they did not step out, if they did not believe God. If a church keeps their hands folded, if the church is not mission-minded, if the church plays it safe, we will not see the fruit that God has promised us. We will not see the revival that we'll seek. We will not see salvations for families. We will not see communities break out of addictions. There are principalities around us. There are demonic activities around us. There are wicked altars around us. But it takes two or three people standing together, travailing and believing God to break through in those areas. One of the things that saddens my heart is when a man comes into Teen Challenge and he walks away having not met God, because I know exactly where he's going. And every now and then you hear, you get phone calls, so-and-so died. So-and-so died. He had an overdose. He was beaten in a bar. They sadden our hearts. But it takes a man and a woman who stands and pray, and he says, not at my watch. Not at my watch. Because on this church, Jesus built on this rock, Jesus built his church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail. The gates of hell cannot prevail any longer in your family, at your workplace, in your life. You can no longer be tormented. We can't just come to church and play it safe and go back home and tormented by demons. There is a deliverance in the Lord. You can be free. You can be healed. You can be happy. You can be free in the name of Jesus. We can be free because the church has the keys. 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 We have the keys. We have the keys to the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God. That's why we pray, let your kingdom come. Because once the kingdom of God invades earth, everything changes. Everything changes. As I'm finishing up, I just wanted to remind you of the authority you have, of who you are, of the impact you can have, that you can set people free, that it is time for the church to travail. It is time for the church to pray. It is time. It is time for us to go and save people. Not just one more person. No. God, I need a whole gang. I need a whole group. I need a whole community. I need a whole nation. I need a whole continent. The church has to advance. The church has to. I mean, other people with other agendas are so violent in pushing their agendas. Darkness is so violent in pushing their agendas. But the church, we play it safe. We play it quiet. No. No. Enough is enough. Our people have to be free. Our daughters have to be free. Our children have to be free. Our communities have to be free. I want to just show you a video of what we do in Uganda. And I want to pray for us. And I want to pray for us, then I'll be out of your faces. Amen. Let's play that video and then.
Greetings, friends and family. Didas, your friend from Teen Challenge Uganda. I want to thank you so much for choosing to partner with us, for your generosity over the years. A year ago, I came and we presented some needs before you, and you responded generously. May God richly bless everyone. Because of this, many lives have been transformed. Many lives have been reached, children have been reached, families have been reached. We have been able to do many things. Out of our outreach, we are in about 5 communities where we reach people, where we reach women that are stuck in addictions, fathers and sons that are stuck in addiction. We send teams to these communities every day. We have started a women training center. Our women, we have about 70 women that are undergoing vocational training and discipleship on a daily. Can you imagine? On a daily, a woman comes and they listen to the gospel and they are prayed for and hope is put within reach in their lives. Out of this, we are able to build a church building. We had many challenges on this church building, but here we are with a complete church building, not only just a church building, but a Sunday school building. Out of this church, we are planting now about 5 churches because we outgrew this place and people were coming from far distances to attend our service. Now we have put locations close to them because of your giving. We have been able to build a strong team. We still have gaps in there, but we've been able to add on to our team pastors and counselors and administrators. We've been able to build a team, and these are committed people that are able to do this, and they get a salary every month. Can you imagine what God has done for us? We had a men's building that we were building. It was halfway done. If you came, you would look at it and you wouldn't be so pleased. But right now, a very beautiful building is undergoing construction. We are plastering the walls. We are putting in good beds. We are giving it a good color, nice floors. It is going to be a very beautiful center because of your giving. Right now, we are running about three centers, the women's center, the two men's centers, and the students' population has been able to grow. Thank you. Thank you so much, and may God richly bless all of you.
So with such great breakthroughs, we have been able to make several big strides, and this has done a marvelous work in Hope Village. There has been growth, increase. We have fish ponds. There is farming taking place. The numbers are growing. Women have had the good news and they have been drawn to Hope Village. So the need keeps growing every day. So once again, we come with an ask, and we are asking that you would continue to partner with us. Because of the great numbers, there is a need for medical services. And it has always been our plan to have a health clinic right on the premises. This will help with mental illnesses. It will help with checking any individual, any kind of illness, malaria, typhoid, that are very dominant in our region. The health center is 25 kilometers away, where we can be able to get the best care. But right now, neighbors in the community come to us seeking help, and we would kindly request that you partner with us. $70,000 will go a long way in setting up the premises and all the equipment we need, treatment and medication. The demand is high. We need more sewing machines, but we also need to skill the men as well, because the men need to work. So we come to you once again, requesting for $30,000. This will do great work in setting up a vocational institute that will help not only women, but men as well. We also have a great number, as I said, and all these need counselors. We need teachers. We need pastors. Like we said earlier, five churches in the communities. We need pastors who are equipped to do this work. So we are coming before you once again with an ask of $25,000. This will cover administrative costs of every worker, because we know as they come to work, their needs need to be met. Right now in Kampala, we do not have our own property as Teen Challenge Uganda, so we need to pay rent, and it is quite costly to maintain. But with this generous contribution, we'll be able to keep the home open. We'll be able to meet all the needs, because we have so many gentlemen and ladies who come in out of our outreaches, and we need to feed them and support them. So every contribution is a blessing. And we pray that the Lord will place it upon your heart to give. Because as we step out, we never say no to anyone who's seeking help in the communities.
Thank you for collaborating with us. People are being reached. We still have more ground to take. Yes. But Ebenezer, we celebrate the far we have come.
Amen.
And thank you. May God richly bless all of you.
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to connecting with you next time. And don't forget, you can support us by giving through the Church Center app or by going online at summitwc.com/give.